Have you ever been in the belly of a fish?
Amen.
You have? Okay. I'm talking literal, not the theoretical or spiritual. Have you seen the insides of a fish? Okay. There's a good thing that God prepared one, because it's one of the biggest things that people, critics of the Bible, want to bring up. There ain't no fish, ain't no whale or fish that can hold a man like that. And so we try to provide examples and things. But the thing is, it's all pointless, because what happened? God prepared it. And when God prepared it, it was an accident that he got swallowed up by the fish. We don't even know if it was a whale or not, but we like to think it was a whale because they're so huge. But I want you to imagine, since most of y'all know what the insides of a fish look like, and I want you to imagine you being in the inside of a fish. What it would be like. Now, I'm telling you, God didn't prepare that fish like he's preparing our mansions over that hilltop, okay? He's not preparing that. That fish probably didn't have hardly any room in that fish to move around. He wasn't cooking breakfast and stuff, and had a full-scale kitchen and a bedroom. He barely had room to move. What do you think your chances are if you got swallowed up like that? None. That's pretty much the... I'm imagining Jonah. I imagine Jonah probably thought that he was as good as dead. Being in the belly of a whale or a fish is not death, but you sure can see it from there, can't you? I mean, it's a hopeless situation, and we all know about what happens in our bellies, the digestive system. You're talking about secretions, the acid that breaks down the food. Well, he was food. This was not pleasant. This was, it was dark. It was obviously wet. And he was probably getting eaten up a little bit by the stomach acids. I know we've never actually, except for Mary, we've never actually been in the belly of a fish. But have we felt like we've been in the belly of a fish at times? To where it's hopeless, it's dark, there seems to be everything in the world seems to be going wrong. Well, that's the point this morning. And the question that I have this morning is, if you find yourself in the belly of a fish, what do you do? Literally, what was Jonah able to do? Oh, I'm sure he punched a little bit. I'm sure that if he had a pocket knife, he had tried to carve his way out. I'm sure that he tried every way in the world to get out of the situation he was in, and when he found it was fruitless, and it was hopeless. What else? When you can't do anything else, what's left? Pray. Pray. Now, I will tell you a little secret. If you'll pray first, it makes it much easier to do than to go through all the other stuff and find you can't do it. If you'll just pray first. And I don't know if he prayed first or he went through all everything, but at some point in time, he discovered what he needed to do in the belly of that fish. And that's the 10th chapter. He's going to pray. So let's read the passage today. It's only 10 verses. In verse 1. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the fish's belly. And he said, I cried out to the Lord. Why? Because of my affliction. What was his affliction? Well, he got ate by a fish. And he answered me. Now God, he prayed and God answered him. Out of the belly of Sheol, hell, I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me, this is Jonah talking, and for you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounding me, and all your billows and your waves passed over me. Then I said, I have been cast out of your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The water surrounded me, even to my soul. The deep closed around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. And I went down to the moorings of the mountains, and the earth with its bars closed behind me forever. Yet you have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. And when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you into your holy temple. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy. And in verse 9, it says, but I will sacrifice to you with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And in verse 10 it says, so the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Interesting choice of words, vomit. It's not something, he didn't stroll out. He will hear you. In times of trouble. He has not turned his back on you. And so we will pray because he hears us. I can't think of anything farther away from God than to be at the bottom of the ocean in the belly of a whale. Is there any place that God won't hear us if he can hear you there? And the answer obviously is no. Listen to Psalms 120 verse 1. In my distress, I cried to the Lord and he heard me. In my distress. Do you remember the last time that you cried out to God in distress? There's been a few times for me, I can tell you. Oh, Lord, help me. It wasn't this free-flowing, magnificent prayer of God trying to impress God. It was just going, Lord, I need help. Help me. He hears that prayer. Now, we must never take it for granted that he'll hear us, because he will. But remember that when we are in sore distress, he's not surprised when we pray. He's waiting for us to pray. Now, does that mean he answers our prayers right away? And the answer, of course, is no. He could have left Jonah in there a while. Just as he might leave us in our situations that we're in distress about, he may leave us there for a little bit too. We can't even begin to understand the whys and the hows and the therefores of why we're going through a particular problem. Now, we know why Jonah is going through his problem, don't we? God told him to go to Nineveh, and he said, no, I'm going to run away from God. Now, that's going to happen when God wants you to do something, okay? You can say you can say that he caused it to himself, this issue himself. So Jonah faced this crisis in his life. He had rejected God totally. He had turned and ran from God. And maybe you've done that in your life. Maybe you've ran from God at some point in your time, in some point in your life. Maybe you tried to be like Adam and Eve and hide from him, thinking that he'll forget about you. It doesn't work. If you're a child of God, he will never leave you and he will never forsake you. He may get aggravated at you. He may have to cause to do something drastic in your life to get you back on the right track. But David the psalmist said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me the rest of my days. That means that God's going to follow you. in the rest of your days. Now, you may not let him catch up, but he's going to follow you, chase after you. So, I want to ask you something. And this is the problem in a lot of our lives when we face a crisis, especially one when where we're not doing what God wants us to do, is that we don't want to go to him in prayer because we feel like we don't have the right to. He's just going to be mad at us. Do you remember those days when you were a child and you were afraid to face your daddy or your mama because of what would happen if you fessed up about something? That's the way we feel about God sometimes. We don't want to fess up. We think if we just keep it from him, even though we know they know, we just don't. If we don't spill the beans, hey, it's silly, isn't it? It's amazing how our boys thought that Miss Terry had eyes in the back of her head. She knew everything going on. And they couldn't get away with anything. It's amazing how kids, when they're growing up, how they're so scared of their parents. And come to find out later on in life that their parents just love them so much. And what they thought was unforgivable could be forgiven. And so that's the reason why we feel like we don't have a right, because of what we've done and the shame and embarrassment of going to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Jonah could have sat down in that and died in that fish's belly. He could have. And he might have thought about it. But he was totally trapped. He couldn't do anything else. And so he said, finally, I'm going to talk to God about it. Wouldn't it have been nice if he had talked to God earlier when he was told to go to Nineveh? Now, he may have disagreed with God, but at least he could have talked to him, prayed to him about it, got confirmation over and over again about it, but instead he ran and turned his back upon God. God is a merciful God that hears us in the days of our crisis, whether they're self-inflicted or not. He'll hear you when you're alone. How much more alone can a person be than to be in the belly of a fish? God must have seemed very far away to Jonah. His sins against God had caused him physically to be so very, very far from any other human being. He was truly alone. I can't imagine the feeling of knowing that there was so much distance between him and any other living being, living human. His sins of God had caused this. He was deep underwater within the belly, surrounded by all water. And there was no hope. Even if he had got out, he was so much underwater, he couldn't have survived the getting out of the water. And if he even got up out of the water, he's in the middle of the sea. Yes, he was alone and without hope. We are never so far away from God that he can't reach us. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Even if you're in the belly of a whale. And if that's the case, whatever crisis or situation that you may find yourself in, God will hear you. He'll hear you if you seek him. When you seek him, he'll hear you. There's no sense even praying because it's hopeless. Have you ever said that? Have you ever thought that? There's no reason for me to pray because it's hopeless. Can I remind you of something about our God? He spoke the universe into existence. He created us. He created everything that we see. And if you don't, he walked on water, okay? He rose from the dead. You get my point? Your little problem, your little crisis can be, however hopeless you think it is, can be taken care of just like that if he so chooses. The catch is that you must turn your entire attention on him and not yourself. I want you to notice something in this prayer. He never said, "Woe is me." He recognized it was his affliction and he caused it. And he didn't say, "Lord, can you make..." He didn't even say, "Lord, can you make me comfortable in here?" He was wanting to get out. He was wanting to get out. And he was praying to God, admitting what he did. "Seek and you shall find. Ask and it shall be given." Sometimes we're not very bold when we go to the Lord in prayer. We tend to say, "Well, he's probably not going to do this if I ask this, but I think he might do this." Guys, if it's in his will, he can do anything. He can change your life. He can change your situation if you allow him. If you'll seek him. We must not trust in ourselves, but turn our face to him and seek his counsel. Do we go to other people to try to figure out how we're going to get out of our predicament? Or do we go to him first? Do we go to a lot of other people saying, "Can you figure out anything?" "Well, Dan said I couldn't. Randy said he didn't know of anything. Terry said he couldn't. So I guess I'll pray to God and see if he's got an answer." You see the silliness? Go to God. Ask. We must have confidence and assurance that he is there for us as he's promised. He'll hear our pleas of repentance. I can assure you, if you want to tell him to repent to him and say you're sorry and try to get back on the right path, he'll hear you no matter what situation you're in, no matter where you're at in life, no matter where you are at physically. He'll hear our pleas of repentance. He'll hear our pleas of mercy. If life is overwhelming you, your fault or not, and you say, "Lord, I need your mercy," he'll give it in some way. It may not solve your problem, but he'll give you some mercy. And our pleas of thanksgiving. Our pleas of thanksgiving, thanking God. And our pleas of deliverance. "Lord, help me. Save me." Only if we truly seek him. What is his promise? In Matthew 11:28, it says, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Come unto me. Not go unto Aaron. Not go on to Randy. Not come on to me. But come unto him. He'll give you rest. And we pray because we need him. We need him for our physical needs. Jonah had a physical problem. He was in the belly of a fish under the water with no hope. It was a physical thing. He could give God, God could give him all the encouragement in the world. He could give him all the things that could help him survive down there for a little bit. But he actually had no hope unless he asked to get out of the belly of the whale. God was concerned with his physical problems. Remember the blind man on the road to Jericho? Guy came up to him. And Jesus said, "What will you have me to do for you?" He knew who he was. He already knew the problem. "What will you have me to do for you?" That's like God saying, "Okay, what is it you need from me?" Now, God already knows what you need, but he's wanting you to tell him.
Well, you need to pray for the problems that you have in this life. It is not wrong to pray for better health. It is not wrong to be praying for physical things in this life that you need. God may grant it. He may give you the strength to endure whatever it is. But you need Paul. You may feel like this. Paul prayed 3 times for that thorn in the flesh to be taken away from him. God didn't take it away. But God was concerned about it. And God prayed. Paul prayed anyway. We know he prayed 3 times. It may have been a lot more. What did God tell him? My grace is sufficient for thee. And so should we in times of our troubles. You know, Jonah had to live in order to go about doing the Lord's work. That's a duh moment, isn't it? Yeah. All right. God never told Jonah that he was uncalled to Nineveh. He never told Jonah, okay, I'm taking you off the case. I'm taking you out of the preaching rotation. He never told him that. So as he's praying here, Jonah knew that he was on the hook to have to go to Nineveh. And the only way Jonah was going to go to Nineveh was for him to live. Okay? If he died, he was not going to Nineveh. So God's will was going to happen. Jonah was going to live. God has something for you in your life today. And you won't breathe your last breath until that purpose and that thing is done. And if you refuse to do that thing, you can either find yourself in the belly of the whale, or you might give that purpose and that job to someone else. But Jonah's job was still there, so he had to live. This is looking in 1 Corinthians 3. Do you not know that you're the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God would destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. You're his temple. God is living within you. It's where he dwells. He wants to take care of his temple. And he wants you to take care of it. And you need him. For your spiritual needs. Jonah's problem was physical, but it was much, much more than physical. Spiritually, Jonah was in great need. He was walking far from God. I have people to this day still call former members of this church or people on the outside of the church who knows people here. People who should be in church, should be worshiping God and serving. They'll still call and ask for stuff. They got problems. They find themselves in bad situations, as we all do. And I don't have a problem with helping if I can. But ultimately, I know that that's not the real problem, is it? The real problem lies in their hearts. They're far from God. They're running from God. Now, is that going to solve their immediate problem? No. Not necessarily. There's a lot of people in the same boat as Jonah who are still running from God. And so, their answer to their problems, and maybe it's your answer to your problem, is not necessarily helping him get out of the well, the belly of the well. It's not necessarily that. But to come back and find Jesus Christ, to either finding for the first time or come back to Him and walk with Him again instead of away from Him. That's the real solution to the problems. Until you get God, until you find God, all the rest are symptoms of a bigger problem. So we need Him for our spiritual needs. And you need Him as the center of your life. Not something on the outskirts of the periphery. You need Him in the center of your life. It's God, family, and church. If you keep that priority, guess what? It'll go fine for your life. But when you get that out of that, those priorities out of whack, and you don't put God in the center of your life, there's going to be part of your life that's not going to be right with Him. And we need to pray because He can save you. Pray and give Him thanks. Why do you? You're in the middle of this belly of this fish. How can you say thanks? But yet Jonah was praying and thanking. And I think that's probably the key. How are we thankful amidst all these problems and wrongs? Number one, as a child of God, we can thank Him that no matter what happens in this circumstance, what's the worst thing that can happen? Well, Jonah's going to die. He's going to be with the Lord. Paul said, "For me to be absent in a body is to be with the Lord." So, obviously, we don't want bad things to happen. We don't intentionally set out to die. We don't intentionally think about, I can't wait to die, no, so I can be with God. But it is something in these times that we think, God's got this. Because of what He did, what His Son did on the cross of Calvary for us, and by us asking Him into our hearts and our lives, we are saved children of God, and we receive the inheritance of eternal life, this precious gift of everlasting life. Yeah, we can be thankful. Jonah could be thankful that he was still alive. That he still had a purpose. That he still had a reason for living. We need to pray and give Him of ourselves. It's more than just being thankful, but we're going to say, Lord, okay, I am ready to do what You want me to do in my life. Jonah was telling God, all right, You got me. I'm ready to go to Nineveh. That's called repenting. And repenting is where you're going one direction and it's the wrong path and you turn and you go and you face the other in just the opposite direction. And that's what He said He would do. Lord, I'm ready to do it. It's not that hard, guys. It's not like you have to turn everything about your whole life over and you have to say, I got to get this right, I got to change this and this and this in my life in order to God be pleased. All you got to do is go before Him and say, Lord, I'm ready to follow You, and He puts you back on the path. And in Jonah's case, he gets vomited up. Can you imagine what that was like? And I don't know if it happened immediately after the prayer. I kind of tend to think so. The big fish comes up near the shore and just spews him out of his mouth. And I wouldn't want to have been around Jonah after that happened. You see, when you pray, He will deliver you. In some form or fashion, He will deliver you. Jonah went about, did not hesitate, but went straight to Nineveh. He did what He promised He would do. Pray and he'll deliver you. If you're a child of God, you already know that. You know that he will deliver you because there was a point in time in your life where you asked Jesus Christ to save you because the Spirit of God was touching your heart and dealing with you, and you said yes. One word. You might have said other words. But when God was calling you, in essence, you said yes. And in doing so, he changed your life forever. He delivered you. You say, but Brother Andy, my life was going great at that point in time. Was it? You were a lost sinner, doomed. The moment that you died, you pissed the pedal. Sorry, that's just the truth. There are millions, and dare I say billions of people today who are in that same condition. They are dying. They are in the belly of the well with no hope. And then one day they pray, God save me. He offers that gift of salvation and they say yes. And he delivers them. Are you here today and you've never been delivered in that way by God? If not, I suggest to you today that God's maybe dealing with your heart. That you need to say yes to his Holy Spirit. That you need to bow down in prayer and say, Lord, I am desperately lost. Because of my sin condition, I am going to hell. I'm not going to be with you. Can you deliver me? Can you save me? For one who truly asks this, he's never said no. For those who truly, truly he's calling, he's never said no. But we have, haven't we? So if you're here today and the Lord's dealing with your heart about salvation, realize your condition. Realize where you're at and ask him to come. Ask him to come into your heart and life. And for all of us who have made that decision that he has delivered us, may we never forget that deliverance in our life. No matter what's going on in our life, we'll know that he's delivered us from the ultimate situation in life. And will deliver us again because he's promised. So this morning as we stand and we prepare for an invitation, I don't know your heart. I don't know your life. I don't know what God's dealing with you about right now. And I really can't suppose, because there may be someone here who's been coming to church for 40, 50 years and they have proclaimed salvation at one time in their life, but maybe they didn't. Maybe they really never had that true experience. Maybe you're here today and you pretended to be saved. Maybe you're here today and you've never actually made that decision. Would you do that today? Would you say yes to him? Because right now the condition that you're in as a lost person is dire. It's horrible. The consequences of not accepting a Savior is eternal, forever and ever, without Christ. So today I'm going to let the Spirit of God deal with your heart. And would you respond today as we sing?
Number 513. 513. Thank you.